across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, March 18th, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network or through the app, social media, on demand as a podcast. Nice to have you along. You know the question I'm going to ask of you this first day after the brackets come out. Do you have your brackets filled out yet? Now, of course you don't, because you're a normal person. But at some point, maybe you're part of an office competition. I don't think we're supposed to talk about office pools. Just a friendly competition where you're going to fill out your best guess. And in fact, I was looking at the newsletter this morning from Christina Laurie, and she has the odds written in there someplace. The odds of a perfect bracket. Oh, I can't even say that number. It's got so many digits to it. It's basically, it's a 9 followed by 18 zeros. So my guess is you're not going to have a perfect bracket, but we do know the Badgers are in it. We know Marquette is in it. So we're going to talk more about that along the way. First, to remind you, our phone number here is 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call that number or text it. We'll see it here and pass along your comments, or you can put a comment on one of the Facebook pages where you would find us as well. All right, let's see. Coming up here this morning, we've got delay. More delays from Donald Trump trying to put off, justice in his trials. But more importantly, the incendiary language that he is using and used again this weekend, talking about what a bloodbath things will be. Things kind of have to put in quotes because it's never quite clear what he's talking about. But he also had things to say about the insurrectionists who attacked the U.S. Capitol that are sure to offend many of you. So we'll be discussing that coming up in a bit. We'll have Dr. Kristen Lyerly visiting us as well. And then in our second hour, the liberal group A Better Wisconsin Together has already been reaching out to Wisconsin voters, courting them like never before, reminding people of the issues, the candidates' positions, and the power that they wield on November 5th with their vote, if they show up, and reminding them of why they should. So we'll talk to a couple of people involved in canvassing voters for A Better Wisconsin Together. So that and much more coming up along the way. Let's tell you about the temperatures across Wisconsin this morning. They go like this. It's 23 degrees up here on Lake Wissota. Hayward's at 17, Park Falls 17. Wausau, you're reporting 22 degrees right now. Green Bay, 26. La Crosse, 24. Wisconsin Rapids, 22. Oshkosh, 25. Madison, 23. And Waukesha, 21. Waukesha is where we find Greg Bach, who pushes the buttons and spins the knobs and flips the switches. Well, actually, it's all done on one mouse, isn't it? Good morning, Greg. And how do you command this radio show and get it over the airwaves? Is it
this finger right here?
That finger right there? Yeah, oh, okay.
That finger. This finger right here controls it all. It could end it all too, Pat, if you don't watch your mouth.
I tried to watch my mouth, but as Greg knows, the first time I turned on my mic right before the show started, nothing but a frog came out before it. So
ribbit.
Still kind of recovering from things here. But Greg and I had this much in common talking about our weekend. It was a good weekend, but Sunday was probably the best do-nothing day I've had in a while.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Kind of a do nothing day too.
Yeah. I woke up. What time did I wake up? I woke up at 10 o'clock because I work late on Saturday nights. I didn't get home until like 1:15 in the morning. So Sunday morning. And I woke up and I just didn't do anything. I played with the dog. I took her out a bunch of times. But other than that, I just sat around. I accidentally started watching the first season of Sopranos. I just turned on the first episode. I'm like, yeah, let's watch the pilot. And I'm like, I'll watch the second one. I'm like, oh no, I need to know what happens to Mr. Bump and Sarah.
Dispenser.
I can't
the
say his name.
Hitting the pellets. Yeah, more pellets.
I can't say his name on the radio.
No, you can't. You can't.
I mean, I feel like I can folks, because it's in reference to a character in a TV show. I just don't feel comfortable calling him that.
Nor should you at 6:11 in the morning. Yeah. But that's the point, is you you get kind of addicted.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But it was great.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. I don't get many full days off. It's usually going to be a Sunday, but then there's stuff to do. There's errands to run. There's, you know, chores to do. And also
that
just
accidental, that accidental binging though. That's actually really you know, nice when you're like, yeah, I could watch one more. Yeah. I could watch one more.
Go on. No, go on.
So long as you're not getting like a text message like 2 hours later, like, weren't you supposed to pick me up? You know,
are you okay?
Like yeah. Yeah. Right.
Do you ever have this? I've never met your wonderful wife, and she from everything you've said, she's a wonderful person.
Me. Oh yeah. I can confirm.
My guess is that you are a very hard worker. You do a lot. So
thank you.
My guess is that we probably have this in common where on a day off where you have nothing to do and you're doing nothing, you feel like you are being lazy and you don't feel like you're like, oh, I should be doing something. And then your wonderful partner is there to say, you're fine. Do nothing. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Yeah.
We actually do have to do that to each other.
Yeah.
And say, you know, it's okay. It's okay. We can close the laptop for a little bit.
Yeah.
The thing is, even on a what I would call a do nothing day,
yeah,
all that meant is there were all these like little things that otherwise don't get done.
Yeah.
And, you know, like there were some papers that needed to be shredded. So they're ready for that now. And, you know, there was something, you know, like one other, I forget, Easter or Christmas thing needed to be moved down to the basement. So you just take care of these little things that during the week you're like, oh, I'll get around to that later. And you finally get a chance to because you just have a normal day at home.
Feels amazing. My phone ran out of juice at one point during the day. And I said, oh, my phone battery died. And Bridget goes, oh, you want me to plug it in for you? I said, no, let it be dead. My phone was dead for 2 hours. And it was amazing.
Plausible deniability. Yeah. I love it. So we did, we were on Saturday, we did go watch the Badgers Purdue game at a nearby pub, and that was really nice. It was a very exciting game at near the end of it. Unfortunately, the Badgers, you know, then couldn't, you know, take care of business yesterday, but they're still in the NCAAs. Brackets are out. Are you a bracket filler outer on an annual basis?
No.
Okay.
I don't get into that stuff. It's, college sports is hard. There's so many teams.
Well, yeah, and like I said, the odds. I think you tried to describe it as 90 quadrillion.
Actually, yeah. It's 9.2. I did a little digging deeper. 9.2 blah 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 quintillion. That's your chances.
Quintillion. Yeah,
sounds like you could win the lottery like five times over before you're gonna hit a perfect bracket.
Wow. Okay. The one thing one comment I want to make about the brackets, and then I'll get into the Badgers and Marquette and the game times and everything, but they do it by regions of the East region, the South region. And I get that we're using the terms loosely, but the first region they unveiled was the East region. And then you've got the games that are in Brooklyn, you know, the Badgers are going to be playing in Brooklyn in the East region. And then they show, and the next half of the bracket is Spokane, Washington. And I'm like, in what world is Spokane, Washington in the East region? But then I realized I've already overthought the brackets more than anybody should. So,
well, if you're in Japan, you're like, oh, Spokane, Washington in the East.
Yeah. Yep. You're going to take a simple flight out there. Right. Yeah. So, all right. Well, here's how it's looking. Marquette is a 2 seed. And their first game will be Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock against 15 seed Western Kentucky. And then the Badgers are a 5 seed, and so they'll be in the 5-12 game. The 12 seed is James Madison. Now, again, Wisconsin is the lower seed here. They have a record of 22-13. James Madison, their record is 31-3. Now, obviously a smaller school, and they played a lot of smaller schools. That's why they're a number 12. But let's just say the Badgers aren't getting a lot of love from the national sports media out there. Everybody's like, if you're going to pick one 5-12 game, you know, where the 12 advances. So the Badgers can clearly live up to the sports cliche of, you know, nobody gave us a chance, nobody believed in us. So now they're motivated, and they have a primetime game on Friday night. Their game is at 8:40 in Brooklyn. The winner of that game will play the winner of 4th-ranked Duke versus 13th-ranked Vermont. So again, the Badgers, 8:40 Friday night. Marquette, 1 o'clock Friday afternoon. And then for all the rest of it, I will refer you to whatever favorite talk sports talk station you want out there, because we're not going through all the rest of it. I mean, if anything, maybe Greg, we'll grab a pair of blank brackets and we'll go through just for, you know, just for entertainment purposes. Yeah. In other words, whose guess is luckier? That's really all it is.
I'll be like, what does their mascot look like? They're going to win.
I like their colors Yeah. You know, my grandpa's name, his middle name was Duke, so I'll pick him. it could totally go that way. Let's see. We've talked a few times here in terms of the NCAA postseason here, and I just want to congratulate the University of Wisconsin River Falls women's hockey team. They did it. They had the perfect season. They defeated Elmira College of New York 4-1 yesterday. The UW River Falls women are national champions for Division III hockey. In Division I, for the Badger women, they won over the weekend and are advancing to the NCAA Frozen Four, which is being hosted in New Hampshire this next weekend. They defeated St. Lawrence over the weekend, and on Friday they will play Colgate as part of the Final Four in Women's Division I hockey. The Badger men have one more week to wait to see how their bracket shapes up for the NCAA tournament. Let's see, it was... quite a game for the Milwaukee Bucks yesterday, even though Giannis was out with his left hamstring feeling sore. The rest of the team truly stepped up in beating the Phoenix Suns 140-129. Damian Lillard had 31 points, Bobby Portis 31 points. They could not miss in the first half. They were hitting three-pointers like crazy during the first half of the game. Chris Middleton added 22 points in his first game back after missing 16 games with a sprained left ankle. Their next game is Wednesday at Boston. And by the way, only 10 more days now till opening day for the Milwaukee Brewers. It'll be a week from Thursday that they open up the season in New York against the Mets. And then the home opener will be Tuesday, April 2nd. Election Day is also the home opener for the Brewers, and they'll be taking on the Minnesota Twins to get baseball season underway. All right, we'll get into the very incendiary, very troubling things that former President Donald Trump had to say over the weekend in just a bit. First, a reminder that wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. This would have been Irene Cara's birthday today, born this day in 1959, passed away a couple of years ago at the age of 63. Over the weekend, of course, we are dealing with now a presidential campaign that is getting into full swing, and that's going to mean almost daily opportunities for Donald Trump to again say what he would really do if he were to get elected president again. And that included some very troubling audio on a couple of different counts. There was a word that he used, and people have been debating all weekend, you know, what's the right way to cover this particular word, and we'll get into that. But then there was another word that he used to describe the insurrectionists on January 6th that I also want to talk about. But let's go ahead and start with the word bloodbath, and let's talk about the context of it, and let's just talk about the context of Trump's remarks overall. Greg's got audio of the former president speaking in Ohio, and he's kind of going off on a tangent, talking about China, and then talking about foreign auto companies and where they decide to build their cars, whether it's in China or in Mexico or someplace else. And here's what Trump had to say after that.
Those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us. No, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole... That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it.
So you can see where there are some people going, listen to what he just said. He said, if I don't get elected, there will be a bloodbath. And then you've got a group of people saying, well, don't take it out of context. He meant economically it would be a bloodbath, which doesn't really quite compute, you know, compared to the violent rhetoric that he's been using throughout his campaign. It certainly sounds more like he's talking about the automobiles and foreign factories and how he wants to put a 100% duty on there if he gets elected. And then there's this clean break where he's like, but if I don't get elected, there will be a bloodbath. And you can understand the folks who are like, how are we not talking more about a former president essentially inciting those who are just itching to start a civil war in this country? Either way, the man does not look out for his terms, and he does not explain himself well. But he did explain this much. He said he'd put a 100% tariff on foreign companies' automobiles. The company doesn't pay the tariff. And anybody who paid attention to Trump's economic policies during his term in office will remind you over and over again that the tariffs that Trump imposed, those get paid by consumers because you're not blocking the foreign product from coming in. And remember, there's a whole lot of things we need to still come in from other countries. The consumer pays that. The consumer, the company raises the price. The consumers who still want it buy it at that sharply higher price, you know, so that the company can go ahead and, you know, pay the tariff. Donald Trump is promising inflation. Donald Trump is promising to raise prices. He talks all the time about increasing tariffs as if we all think that that's going to hurt a foreign country or a foreign manufacturer. And that's not how it works at all. If anything, if you want to use the term bloodbath solely in economic terms, Donald Trump getting reelected, that would be an economic bloodbath for consumers based on the chaos that he wants to throw into economic and tax policy. But before that even started, what was especially troubling to me was again, he's really ratcheting up the rhetoric about January 6th and the attack on our nation, to the point where even the national anthem that they play at the start of his rally is a version that was recorded by people who were jailed or imprisoned for their role attacking the United States Capitol on January 6, 2021, the insurrectionists, the criminals. They sing the song. The PA announcer says something like, "Please rise for the horribly treated January 6th hostages." They play the song, and then here's what Trump had to say about those people arrested for attacking police officers and trying to basically overthrow an American election.
See the spirit from the hostages, and that's what they are, as hostages. They've been treated terribly and very unfairly, and you know that, and everybody knows that. And we're going to be working on that. So the first day we get into office, we're going to save our country, and we're going to work with the people to treat those unbelievable patriots, and they were unbelievable patriots and are. You see the spirit, just cheering, they're cheering while they're doing that, and they did that in prison, and it's a disgrace, in my opinion.
Have you noticed he does not finish a sentence quite frequently? He'll start in one area and then go to another, and if you tried to diagram that rambling, you'd forget that in the beginning he says, on our first day, we're going to work with the people to get these people treated better. I mean, he won't finish the sentence to say, I'm going to pardon everybody who tried to attack Congress when counting your votes on January 6th of 2021. He's calling them patriots. He's calling them hostages. This is truly letting the outsiders in, whether you want to cloak them in Russian flags for Vladimir Putin or simply an insurgent force trying to overthrow a free and fairly elected government in the United States. These are the people who are a clear and present danger to America. through their actions already, including a leader who incited violence. And he's not backpedaling. He's promising more violence, economic and physical. What he's not promising is to bring along, their best and brightest along the way. A lot of his former cabinet members have already spoken out against him. His own vice president, Mike Pence, said over the weekend he would not endorse Trump. And the guy he went to Ohio to campaign for, who's running for Senate, give a listen to what he had to say here. He was talking about someday when we all die and go to heaven. He talks about going to heaven. Listen to who he describes who you're going to meet in heaven and see if it jives with what you learned in American history.
Imagine what that's like, what that feels like. And imagine who you get to meet. You get to meet the 55 people that signed our Declaration of Independence. You get to meet James Madison, Abraham Lincoln, John Jay, Alexander Hamilton, George Washington.
Craig, I'm not a student of history. I don't have necessarily the paperwork, but I'm going to go with Abe Lincoln, not one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence.
No, Pat, he was not.
Poor Craig is just, Craig has nearly passed out from the ridiculousness of that remark. And by the way, the 55 signers of the Declaration of Independence, not the first people I'm going to be looking for when I get to heaven, you know? Let's just pick James Madison, okay? I wouldn't be able to pick him out of a lineup. Well, unless he was standing right next to Abraham Lincoln. That I could get.
Wearing a thing that said, "Hi, I'm James Madison."
Right. So not their best and brightest. All right, we'll continue our discussion coming up in just a bit. Kristen Lyerly still ahead, along with learning more about a better Wisconsin together. We'll be back here up north. For Adam Levine today from Maroon 5. We'll talk a bit more about that in today's history lesson coming up. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins the program as well. Kristen, how are you?
I'm good. I'm feeling kind of groovy with that musical intro.
I know. Isn't it nice?
It's a really good record.
So Greg and I were so happy to say that we did next to nothing yesterday. How was your Sunday?
I drove from northern Minnesota to eastern Wisconsin, so I was in the car most of the day, and then I went almost directly to a concert for the Youth Symphony, the Youth Orchestras in the Green Bay area, which is delightful. It's all these kids. We packed the Widener Center. All these kids were up on stage playing Holst's The Planets and American Salute. Really hard stuff. And they nailed it. It was, we were just proud to see them up there.
So great, especially with your musical background of playing cymbals for the marching band, right?
Did you jump on stage in a gopher costume and spin your head? You were like, "You got this, kids!"
I didn't, but my youngest son did play the cymbals, and I was over the moon.
Proud mom moment. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad that was fun. I don't know if you got to watch much TV, but I will say that one of the commercials I saw most frequently was Eric Hovde saying, "Vote for me for Senate, and I won't need a salary. I'll donate my whole salary to charity if you elect me." Which, I don't know about you, that's an automatic disqualifier for me. If you don't need the job because you're such a rich guy, I don't know that you're going to be on my side, when it comes time to do the job.
Right, and I mean that's really not all that much money. It's what, $170,000 or something like that, which is don't get me wrong, that's a lot of money, but that's not a great trade-off.
No, it's not. And that always concerns me. And by the way, for the folks right away going, "Oh, Herb Kohl had a decade or two of a proven track record of being state Democratic Party chair and doing a whole lot of other things that put him on the record. You know where he stood by the time he ran for Senate. Mm-hmm. Hovde, not so much.
Has Hovde ever held elected office before?
Not that I'm aware. No, he ran for Senate in 2012.
Yeah,
that was for Herb Kohl's retirement, if I'm not mistaken. And Tammy, of course, won the Democratic primary. Tommy Thompson won the Republican primary, but it was a bloody primary between Tommy Thompson, Eric Hovde, and the third person. Their name escapes me, but it was a bitter, bitter primary. And Tommy Thompson came out very wounded, looking bad. And Tammy Baldwin has been a senator ever since. And now that she's running for a third term, Eric Hovde is giving it another try. Which,
who primaries Tommy Thompson in Wisconsin?
Eric Hovde.
Oh, because he, Eric like, Hovde and like,
he's a legend.
But the thing was, he wasn't Republican enough anymore. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'll go ahead and say one of the things, the other things in today's history lesson is today is the birthday of the Republican Party, formed in Ripon, Wisconsin. Or the way I put it, happy birthday to the decaying carcass of the Republican Party, because it's nothing like what it was. Nothing. Well,
why did the Republican Party form in the first place?
Right. It formed as basically the anti-slavery party. They were the good guys in American politics, you know, and the Democrats later became known as the racists and the segregationists. But then you fast forward about 80 years and this thing happens where the Democratic Party starts to get its house in order. And all the, you know, the racists, the segregationists, the states' rights people got to go someplace. And you talk to any moderate Republican you want, any moderate Republican who's not currently involved in politics, and they'll be looking going, who all did we let in here? You know, and I don't, again, I know you were considering running against Mike Gallagher, you know, for Congress at one point. I'm sure Congressman Gallagher and I disagree on a lot of things, but I don't know the man, but I'm sure he has looked around and said, maybe it's time for me to go do something else, looking at what his party has become.
Yeah, I think you're entirely right. He actually had said something similar to that. He was hinting around in the months before he decided not to run again, but it was after he voted against the impeachment of Alexander Mayorkas, and one of the county parties in northeastern Wisconsin came out and called for him to be primaried. And I think at that point, he recognized that this is not the party that good conservatives live in anymore. This is a party of extremists, at least in northeastern Wisconsin it is.
Yeah.
So what do good conservatives do right now?
Quit.
Well, here's the thing. Well, they could quit. They could walk away. But, you know, as you saw over the weekend, Mike Pence saying that he was not going to endorse Trump. Now, again, how this isn't much bigger news. And again, I know I talk about double standards all the time, but trust me, if you know, let's say either Barack Obama or Kamala Harris or somebody came out and said, well, I can't really support, you know, Joe Biden. That would be monster news. Mm-hmm. But it's Trump. So it's like, oh, well, yeah, somebody else doesn't like him. What do you expect? But what he needs to do, what Lynn Cheney needs to do, what all of these folks who say they are never Trump Republicans, it is not enough for them to simply say, I don't endorse Trump. Because right now, unless you're voting for Joe Biden, it seems to me, you're voting for Donald Trump. If you stay home, you're voting for Trump. If you vote for Jill Stein or Robert Kennedy or some other wackadoodle, you're voting for Trump. So what this country needs right now is more mainstream Republicans to go, the only way to save the party that is right of center and was the party that used to stand against Russia and stand for small government, the only way to get that party back is to vote this year for Joe Biden and try to purge our party of this very ugly streak that is staining us right now. So until we can get the Gallaghers, you know, and the others to do that, and instead, the Brown County Republican Party, where you are right now, Kristen, over the weekend, had a dinner which included a noted vaccine skeptic and one of the insurrectionists who filled in for Marjorie Taylor Greene, who couldn't make it, but again, is out there, you know, speaking on behalf of Trump and again, trying to make the insurrectionists look like the patriots when they were anything but. And so from Brown County onward, It's up to right of center voters to be, in my mind, much more vocal about just not rewarding the Republican Party for going down this road. Mm-hmm. That's my two cents.
And they called it the Lincoln dinner, which to me is just like, Abraham Lincoln would not have endorsed this dinner. No. But, you know, the biggest failure about Mike Pence was when he was asked who he would vote for. He said, absolutely not Joe Biden. And then he said, it's my personal decision. And, you know, to your point, Pat, if you don't like either of the candidates, you know, that's okay. A lot of people feel that way. But you then have to vote against the candidate who you think is going to cause the most harm. And I think that, you know, we've seen over and over again, I certainly have, that Donald Trump is a candidate who causes harm. So voting third party is not going to make a third party candidate the president. And maybe that makes you feel better, but it's not going to help solve the problem.
Well, that's what gets us to the No Labels group, which, you know, in it appears to be nothing more than, you know, a front for playing spoiler in order to help Trump. You know, they don't, they're on, apparently they're already on the ballot in something like 17 states, even though they don't have a candidate. And there were plenty of people from both Democratic and Republican circles who had kind of done a little dance with No Labels to see if maybe they were going to put up some kind of a centrist candidate. But given how many far right donors have given to No Labels, it seems pretty clear they're not going to go with a centrist. But I have a feeling that's what Pence and some of the others are waiting for, is to say, well, I'm going to go with this quote-unquote independent person, you know, who's running for No Labels, and that's not going to be helpful at all in this election season. It's really not.
It doesn't make any sense, you know, to come out strongly. This is the thing that gets me, to come out strongly and say, I don't support Donald Trump, but then to support an effort that will support Donald Trump, like removing you one step does not make it better.
No, it does not. Look, before we get, I don't want to drive away too many people here who go, oh God, they're talking negative politics again. There's a lot that's positive about going to vote, not just saving your republic, not just defending democracy, but being for things. And if you're a younger voter, Kristen's aware of this little event coming up later this week where young voters should feel extremely welcomed and able to learn more about the positive aspects of getting involved in your democracy.
We're doing something really cool. So, you know, independently, there are three of us who are considering running for Congress up here in the 8th Congressional District. And coincidentally, we all have sons who will be 18, who will be voting for the first time this November. So we decided to craft an event around them, and they are going to lead this event at the Appleton Beer Factory on Friday at 6, where young people are just welcome to come and share their ideas. Talk to us about what you care about. We were having a conversation last night, and my son said, I'm really frustrated with Taylor Swift because she takes her plane everywhere, and it's not great for the climate crisis, and she could do better. And, you know, that wouldn't have been the thing that was top of mind for me. But that really, really bothers him. And these are the things that we need to hear. What is concerning you? How can we better craft your future and address your needs? Because ultimately, we're building a future for our young people, and your voices are so incredibly important at this pivotal time in our country's history.
It's true, and I'm not looking to pick a fight with any young person who takes issue with a celebrity taking private planes, but let me tell you how many executives and CEOs and millionaires and billionaires are out there doing it all the time, you know, compared to, say, the number of singers, you know, who have private jets. So let's just make sure we're looking at the full scope of the problem here, and saying, look, what is this the biggest hill that we can choose to fight on at this point? But that I'm sure that's one of the things that will be talked about on Friday, is, you know, setting priorities for all these various positions and battles and values.
Well, and these are the conversations that we need to have. You know, you might have a feeling about something, but, you know, like you said, Pat, you might not really understand the full scope of where your feelings are coming from, because you're getting your news off of TikTok and it's focusing on one little thing. And there's so much more that you need to really understand what's happening. So this is that opportunity to have those conversations.
I am glad you mentioned TikTok. I wanted to make mention as well, this whole notion of banning TikTok and the bill that was approved by the House, which I predicted, because a lot of Democrats don't want to be seen as quote unquote soft on China. It's not going anywhere in the Senate. It's going to stay bottled up there. And even if it had gone through, there would be years of delays through lawsuits and all kinds of other things about implementation. So TikTok's not being banned anytime soon. The much more troubling thing is that when they talk about getting new owners for TikTok instead of somebody or a group connected to the Chinese government, Steve Mnuchin, Donald Trump's Treasury Secretary, who, again, looks like your classic cartoon supervillain, is making noise about wanting to... If you love what Elon Musk has done for Twitter, just wait till you see what Steve Mnuchin does to TikTok and turns that into a dumpster fire of you know, right-wing nonsense and suppresses people that want to criticize, you know, Elon Musk or some of the others. Again, bigger hills to fight than TikTok, including, you know, making sure that when we vote this November, the votes are actually counted and somebody doesn't try to throw them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Steve Mnuchin, John Oliver's lookalike.
He's a handsome man. I can't tell you why, but he is a handsome man.
If John Oliver were a cartoon villain. Roger writes in on the same parallel with Mike Pence. Only four of the 44 Trump cabinet members have endorsed his election. But that doesn't mean the 40 that haven't given their endorsement won't vote for him. Yeah, that's true. But it is an immense number of cabinet officials and others who won't endorse him. And the things that are being said and the books that are being written about Trump by people who are in his cabinet. I will remind people, the January 6th Congressional Committee, all of the testimony came from not Democrats, from Republicans and from insiders at the White House. The only folks left, you know, coddling Trump are the people who want to coddle Trump. They're not people who are coming in from an independent point of view. And that should be troubling to a lot of us. Mm-hmm. And this is what I'm sure you will talk about that and much more coming up on Friday. So, and we'll talk about that again Thursday. You have a guest on Thursday?
Yes, we have Madeline Tully coming on Thursday from the Milwaukee area.
All right. So look for that on our Women Win Wisconsin segment on Thursday. Today's history lesson is coming up next. You're up north. You twist to fit the mold that I am in. But things just get so crazy living. Life gets hard to do. And I would gladly hit the road, get up and go. Wilson Pickett. Born this day in 1941 in Prattville, Alabama, passed away in 2006, kicks off today's history lesson, where we are joined as well by Up North News reporter Selena Heller from Eau Claire and Whiskers, the giant camera hog of a cat.
Yes, he's extra snuggly this morning. Good morning.
I see that. Yes. Hello. Somebody knows it's going to be colder this week. I think that's it.
So he wants to snuggle.
That's it. We're replacing Brittany Merlot with Whiskers the cat. And we just interpret how Whiskers is acting to tell us what the weather's going to be like today.
Nice. He doesn't meow either. He's pretty quiet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Okay. He never meows.
Challenge accepted. We're going to figure out how to get that cat to meow. So, let's see. Ben Cohen was born on this day. He's 73 years old today. Ben Cohen is a co-founder of Ben and Jerry's.
Didn't Jerry have a birthday last week?
That's why I put it in there. Yes, because I'm like, I wouldn't normally put that, but I'm like, oh, wait, I mentioned Jerry last week. All right, well, there's Ben. So Ben and Jerry have birthdays near each other. And a pretty good ice cream company, too, I guess.
Adorable.
I love Ben and Jerry's.
Have you been to Ben and Jerry's in Vermont?
I haven't.
Oh, it's such a great little spot.
We were on a New England Fall Colors tour.
That was just a funny statement.
We're in the tour bus with, you know, again, we brought the average age of the bus down to 71, by the way. We actually did a contest. Because this was 20 years ago now. And we were all kind of shocked as we're going through the Vermont countryside, you know, heading to the next stop, and we drive right past the Ben & Jerry's factory, and we're all just kind of looking like, what? And that's when you realize that the tour group that we were with clearly did not work out any kind of a contract with them for a stop. You know, you can't just stop willy-nilly. You know, you arrange these things ahead of time, and I'm guessing negotiations didn't go well. Was that for willy-nilly?
Say that a lot lately. You've been saying willy-nilly a great, and then one of your...
Well, it's only because sometimes I've said higgledy-piggledy and people go, what? What's that?
So, you didn't even...
Or cattywampus, you know.
He also said New England Fall Leaves Tour.
Yes.
Such a good day.
We're going to go to a box social later and have ourselves a good old time.
Hey, it also included, you know, a night on Broadway. We worked our way down the coast to get to New York. And And by the way, the most underwhelming thing when you're touring New England, and I've seen this in plenty of other posts, it's not just me. Anybody else here see Plymouth Rock?
No.
Prepare to be underwhelmed. It's like just putting, grabbing any old rock out of your backyard and putting a cheap fence around it and going, there it is. There's Plymouth Rock. I'm like,
oh,
really?
Yay.
Really? Okay. Glad we stopped for that. I feel like for ice cream.
I feel like the disappointment is in the name Rock. It's not Plymouth Cliff or Plymouth Bluffs or Plains. It's Rock.
And it's not like, you know, you would step off a boat and that would be the first thing you'd step on. It's just a rock. It's just in the middle. It's just not. Let's get back to birthdays, shall we? The late Charlie Pride was born on this day in 1934.
You've got to kiss an angel good morning and let her know you think about her when you're gone.
Such a sweet voice.
Kiss an
angel good morning.
Born on a cotton farm in the tiny town of Sludge, Mississippi, this day in 1934, passed away in 2020. One of the first African-Americans to break through in the format. Former Miss America Vanessa Williams is 61 today. Queen Latifah is 54. She was born Dana Owens in Newark, New Jersey. We mentioned Maroon 5 singer Adam Levine is 45 today, a Los Angeles native. And the pride of West Dallas, Bonnie Blair, is 60 Aww. Years old today.
Oh.
Five gold medals, 3 world championships. Yep. Remember that? Remember Bonnie?
Yeah, love her. I thought I could speed skate when I was little because of Bonnie Blair.
Oh, nice. We all did. We all tried it, and some of us, you know, fell and cut our head open. You know, just Bonnie got it done.
I went roller skating yesterday.
Yeah, you did.
Wait, it was a little scary.
Quad or inline?
Wait, you're still recovering from a busted tailbone. What are you thinking?
No, it was. I'm like, this is not a good idea. But Emery could not. I thought, this isn't gonna.
Pat Selena Heller doesn't take. She takes chances. She doesn't live by your rules.
Didn't realize we had a stunt woman in the crowd here.
But Selena, were they quad or inline?
Quad.
That's the way. All right.
It was full out roller skating, a St. Patrick's Day party at the roller rink.
Did you have pom poms on your skates?
Shoot, no.
Shoot, does no. Anybody,
I don't think a pom pom has been on a roller skate since 1979. I mean, come on.
But now Emery wants her own set of roller skates. So
get her Rydell. Okay. They're real. Those are quality. Rydells are quality.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
First time we went into, I think it's called Skateland here in Eau Claire. First time we took our girls to a birthday party, somebody else's birthday party there. And first time we're ever there, we see a girl sitting at one of the tables crying because her arm is pointed in an unnatural direction. Oh, and they're getting set to take her in for the broken arm and to have it set. We're like, oh. Be careful, kids. Please.
Yeah.
And they were. You see that. You're going to be careful when you're skating. So yeah. Better parenting through somebody else's injuries. The number one song this day in 1967 was by the Beatles.
Penny Lane, there is a barber showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure to know.
And not that long ago, we talked about Neil Young's Heart of Gold. The song itself went to number one this day in 1972. That's the one where James Taylor and Linda Ronstadt were doing the backing vocals on there. And one more number one song from this day in 1978, perhaps the song that best sums up the late 70s, was by the Bee Gees.
Just a jam.
All have you heard disco. The Foo Fighters cover?
The what?
The Foo Fighters covered a bunch of Bee Gees songs. They call themselves the Bee Gees.
The Foo Fighters did this?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. They did a remake?
Oh, yeah.
I gotta look that up.
Yeah, Dave Grohl singing. It's just very Dave Grohl.
Oh, I'm so looking for that now.
It's a great video, Pat. Right. Watch the video.
I will. All right. And let's see. A lot of weeks are starting today. This is National Chocolate Week.
Oh, I'm in.
National Agriculture Week, Poison Prevention Week. This is School Libraries Media Centers Week. And then as far as days go, today is National Biodiesel Day, Sloppy Joe Day, Global Recycling Day, Transit Appreciation Day, Welderly Day, where we want the elderly to be well and, you know, so to exercise and things.
Oh, so it's not the welders.
Not welders.
Okay. Oh, yeah, the three of us. Thought, which leads us to the last thing. Today is Awkward Moments Day, which, I mean, we celebrate that pretty much on a daily basis around here.
We do.
I mean, we're all nothing but awkward moments. Coming up in our second hour, we will talk to the folks from Better Wisconsin Together who are out there canvassing already, by and large online, to let people know about the importance of their vote in the elections later this year. That's part of Up North News Radio in our second hour, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Selena. You gave me stuff.
I did.
Is the stuff?
No, I'm just getting it now. So I'm